Hello again, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic, here on the MTGcast Network. I forgot what comes next.
Happy Pi Day.
Happy what?
Pi Day.
Oh, it is Pi Day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Man. So, I'm going to send you guys a picture, now that you've reminded me that it's Pi Day.
Is it of pie?
Maybe. You'll just have to see.
Better not be PewDiePie again.
I don't know what you're doing with your life.
It better not be what?
Better not be PewDiePie again.
No, there's enough pictures of him.
I know, right?
I can't remember how to send a picture, so never mind. Screw it.
Okay, great.
Welcome to episode 505. Monday Night Magic.
So, yes, this is episode 505, right?
Yes.
Of choking to death. Yes, we are palindromic tonight.
Top 5 101 Dalmatians.
Oh god, have they done that 5 times? Surely not.
I hope not. Help control the pet population.
Alright, well, here. I'm going to send you this picture, and then I'm going to put it in the show notes, because it's Pi Day.
That makes sense, yeah. If you want to know what Chewy sent us, go look at the show notes.
Go look in the show notes for the pie cake. But it's pie. But it's cake. No! Anyway. So in case you can't tell, we're sort of out of it today because we're kind of dumb. And we're all tired.
In our defense, the last week is a little bit shorter than the week that came before it. So really nothing happened.
Yeah. And like nothing happened this week that we have to spend a lot of time on. So let's just dive right in.
Oh, wait. By the way, that's Chewy.
Oh, right. See, I told you I forgot what comes next. So I'm Chewy. Yep. And I'm joined by everyone's favorite snarky goblin that will not stay in the graveyard. Squee?
Do not exile. Do not exile.
And he top 8ed a GP last week.
Last week?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
There you go. It was like we had Jason Chung on. You remember that?
No. I understand. I'm like, I did? I mean, I don't remember doing that, but I mean, I am really tired.
And also,
were there 4 of me?
But yeah, there were, in fact.
Excellent.
And I'm also joined, of course, by everyone's favorite bow tie wearing Danville hating somewhat zombified clues.
I hate daylight saving time.
Also that.
It's an abomination. It's a pox on the face of humanity. Seriously, what the hell is wrong with us? There's absolutely no reason for this insanity. Cut it out.
It's so we can stay up later on Halloween, clues.
You could just stay up later. There's no reason to shift your time zone.
The world needs to stay up with us.
Look, the only thing this does is increase strokes, heart attacks, and car accidents. Let's stop
it. No, it lets us be different from Arizona, and that's important.
That is important. I'll give him that.
It's not that important. Nothing is important enough to have daylight saving time. Nothing. It doesn't help. It doesn't save daylight. It doesn't save energy. It's just a total piece of crap. It doesn't save time either.
And he would know. He's a Time Lord. Yeah, I was out walking around the complex here with Scott before we started, and the sun was still really high and blinded us for half of each lap. I was like, oh, okay, I found the first reason this year to hate daylight savings time.
Saving, it's singular.
Daylight saving time?
That's correct.
Why does everyone call it daylight savings time?
Because they're wrong, but not they are also wrong for allowing it to exist. Look, everything about it is wrong, all of it.
But how do you feel, Clues?
Yeah, Clues.
I abhor it.
Oh, okay.
All right.
On a scale of 1 to Island, how much do you dislike daylight savings time?
Again, saving. And I think, believe it or not,
I'm doing it on purpose now that you've made a point of it.
I may dislike daylight saving time more than islands.
Wow.
In fact, I'm going to go ahead and say that. Yes, I hate daylight saving time more than I hate island. I would rather play high tide. If that would eliminate daylight saving time, I would gladly do that.
Wow. That's...
Should we explain what this is to people who don't know?
Yeah, okay. If you're in a part of the world or even a part of the country that is
Has
sane...
good sense, yeah.
Or at least slightly more sane than us idiots. Twice a year, we've decided it would be absolutely fun to give ourselves jet lag without leaving home. So we just take our clocks in the spring and on a Saturday going into a Sunday at like 2 a.m, you just skip straight to 3 a.m. It's just gone. That hour's just gone. We just moved our clock. We just purposefully shifted it for absolutely no good reason.
It's in the exile zone for like 8 months.
And then in the fall, we take our clocks, and again, on a Saturday going into a Sunday, you go from 1:59 a.m. to 1 a.m. So you get an extra hour, but it's not an extra hour. And that's where it gets us. That's where the insidious little bastard of daylight saving time gets us. In the fall, when we get that extra hour of sleep, we go, oh, this is wonderful. And we forget all about the thing that it did to us back in the spring. And we pretend it's okay until it does it to us again.
So the Wikipedia entry on daylight saving time says, clock shifts were found to increase the risk of heart attack by 10%.
Yep.
And to disrupt sleep and reduce its efficiency.
Yep.
Effects on seasonal adaptation of the circadian rhythm can be severe and last for weeks.
Yep.
A 2008 study, this is what gets me, found that although male suicide rates rise in the weeks after the spring transition, the relationship weakened greatly after adjusting for season. Which means once you get over it, you don't kill yourself?
Well, I think that what they're trying to say there is that the suicide rate is a correlation, not a causation. The cause may actually be the underlying seasonal affective disorder after having so many months of so little daylight.
Yeah, and all you need is that one less hour of sleep to just push you over the edge, apparently. Let's see. Heart attacks are significantly more common in the first 3 weekdays after the spring transition.
Yep.
Whew, so that means you guys, we've got what? One more day and we're all good now?
I don't think we're ever going to be good.
This is awful. Oh, here we go. This is one more thing just to push you over the edge. An unexpected adverse effect of daylight savings time. Yeah, save I did that on purpose. Okay. May lie in the fact that an extra part of the morning rush hour traffic occurs before dawn. And traffic emissions then cause higher air pollution during daylight hours. Just one more reason to just get over it.
Yeah, it's just awful. There's no good reason.
I don't want to imply causation here, but I will say that after the time shifted in the middle of the night on Sunday morning, North Carolina had a 140-something car pileup on the highway. Dun, ooh. Dun, dun.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah.
So magic.
Hey, you know what else is awful?
Magic? No, wait. Islands?
Daylight saving time.
Oh.
So
is that what angers Avison so?
That's probably what drove her over the edge.
There you go.
If you look at the timing of the stories, I'm pretty sure that that's what did it.
Okay, then. We solved it.
Did you know, dear listener, that this is a podcast about magic? We didn't either.
Well, admittedly, you're giving us all this information. We're going to have to sacrifice you and pay two eventually, Clues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. At this point, with as little sleep as I've had, that's fine by me.
Yeah. So, there's only really one event that we're going to talk about, and we're not even going to talk about it for very long because it's GPDC, which is Team Sealed. And Team Sealed literally doesn't matter unless you're playing in it.
Yeah, unless you are literally right now actually playing Team Sealed, in which case you shouldn't be listening to this because electronic devices aren't really allowed like that. So.
Yeah, or if you're Micron.
Well, I don't think he needs to listen to this.
Well, no, that's the only other time that Team Sealed matters.
Oh.
Yeah, so the winning team. Wait a minute. What have I lost here?
Here we go. Oh, you lost an hour of sleep. That's what you lost.
I actually did not. So hate me if you like.
I do hate you.
So the winning team was Matt Severa, Justin Cohen. Hey, you remember him?
Sounds familiar.
He is the guy who came in second at a Pro Tour with the Amulet Bloom deck that caused it to explode and make everyone play it.
Good job.
And Mike Ron.
I think he's done this before.
Yeah, so Sam Black tweeted earlier today that Micron's last three Team GP finishes were first, first, and first.
See that on fire!
With five different teammates.
Boom shakalaka.
So, so that's pretty insane. But yeah. Not only that, but hang on, I've lost, did I click on the wrong thing? I did. I really hate the way this is set up. Okay, but then second place. You know second place? You know, the guys who came in second?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that was Rich Hone, Ian Spaulding, and Tom Martell.
I've heard of those guys.
Rich Hone, apparently, his last three Team GP finishes were first, first, and second, because he and Mike Cron were not on the same team this time.
This feels like the makings of a movie.
Yeah, like a really niche movie that no one would actually see.
Well, it's like one of those sports movies where, you know, they're on the same team, but then something happened and they had to split off, and then the final tournament would be the one that decided who was the best overall. But really, they just sort of probably are still friends and play Madden.
Yeah, probably.
No, the final. I'm sorry, never mind. Could you tell me, dear friend Chewy, whom I hate, we established that earlier.
Right. That was me.
So we've heard all these names in the top two teams. Mm-hmm. Surely that is just coincidence. How about in third and fourth place? Who were on those teams?
Well, the third place team, if you'll give me a second to get back to it, because this isn't set up in such a way where I can see all of the name. I can only see last names of people in the.
Yeah, it is a bit awkward.
So the third place team is totally a fluke. It's Owen Turtenwald, Huey Jensen, Reed Duke.
Who?
And yeah, I mean, they're nobodies. They came out of nowhere. Yeah. They've never played Team Sealed and
Dusk. I think I might have played them at my local store once. Maybe a pre-release. Yeah. Those names are familiar, though. I think one of them's a G.I. Joe.
And then fourth place is Matt Nass, Sam Pardee, and Jacob Wilson. So are you noticing that these names we seem to mention every time that there's a Team Sealed event? But it's totally just a fluke.
But Chewy, Sealed in all of its forms is a luck-based thing, and you have to open the right cards to win, right? Like, that's what everyone at every event's always told me.
100% luck.
Yeah.
Oh, man, these guys are so lucky. I bet they opened Olivia Vildarin, and she's not even in the format.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, that's a thing that exists.
They opened both Grannis.
And this is borderline nuts. So, apparently, when you're really good at Team Sealed, then you're really good at Team Sealed. Because yeah. Rich and Mike both have first, and first, and then first, and second, with five different teammates. Because, you know, twice they were on each other's team.
Yeah, and I think admittedly part...
Anyway, whatever.
I think admittedly part of this is that in order to actually practice for Team Sealed, you have to have a gratuitous amount of time, and you have to have people that you have ready access to for doing this, because it's really hard to get practice in for Team Sealed. You have to have a lot of stuff going on. You have to have a lot of product to go through. You have to be able to actually get the hang of building team decks, which are remarkably hard to do. And it's something that for all of this time investment, you get one or two events a year to pay off, like Standard or Modern or Legacy even. These are things where you get the skills down, you build the decks, you can play them at multiple events throughout the year and get better at them. But when it comes to these, like, you're practicing with your friends and then you go to a GP. You're probably not getting this at F&M or anything else. So the people who have the time and the resources to prep for it are going to just do better. And that's not to take anything away from them. It's just it makes sense to me more than any other format why this one would have a consistently stacked with the same people results.
Yeah, and go ahead.
I just imagine a lot of the people that go to this want to go to it because it's fun and it's different. And that's great, but you're probably not going to make it to the end of a day two GP when you've probably done this maybe three or four times ever.
Yeah, like in later Twitter conversations, it was pointed out that Micron has three times as many team GP wins as individual GP top eights, because he doesn't play that many GPs. I mean, yeah, he won a Pro Tour too. I mean, let's not forget that.
Sort of throw that in there.
Yeah, you know, he won, what was it, Geneva, and then he top eighted Pro Tour Kuala Lumpur.
Wait, he won Geneva?
Pro Tour Geneva, he didn't win the town.
Because I didn't think they gave prizes like that away. That's
well, I mean, amazing. They are neutral, so it's possible. No, I thought that was pretty good. Send me an email. Let me know how bad that joke was. My email address is jack@mtgcast.com.
Hey, what a coincidence! Later. That's my email address.
Whoa!
Later, Jack gets the level one judge test.
So yeah, but I mean, again, it's Team Sealed. There's literally nothing for us to talk about that is relevant because, as I said, this format does not matter unless you're playing it.
Yeah. So take everything that we don't know about Limited and then make it more tricky because you've got more packs, but you have to build three coordinated decks. And now play against another team in a weird setup and win 2 out of 3. Look, we never mind. We don't.
Well, we don't. Also, just on top of that, this is the only tournament that's going to be this format. Like, the next time they do a team sealed thing, it's not going to be the same pool of cards anyway.
That's very true.
It's limited. Like, it's not like, and then you come back in a few weeks and Modern is slightly different because they printed more cards. No, it'll be an entirely different stash of cards next time.
So. Now, all that being said, folks seem to really enjoy, just based on the feedback I've seen, folks seem to really enjoy playing team sealed like this. Now, yeah, that may be a function of how infrequently they're able to do it. In other words, if there were a team sealed like every single weekend, eventually people would be like, I just want constructed. I just want standard. Man, I can't believe I just said that sentence.
Normal sealed.
Well.
But yeah, just for reference, there were 1,122 teams, which thanks to multiplication, we know is 3,366 players. So this is not an insignificant number of people at an event.
Certainly not.
Wow. All right then. So are we good on the GPDC?
Top five moments. No.
No.
Yeah, we're good.
No. So none of us were there. Apologies for that, but not really.
Oh, the only other thing I do want to mention.
Okay.
And Chewy and I spoke, well, I'm going to pretend it was spoke about this earlier today. So I know that in the past few weeks, there have been several GPs where there's been some heavy criticism of TOs for how things shook out. Most of the feedback I've seen on social media about this event seems to suggest that Star City Games did a very good job running this one. So it's a tricky format to try and make work logistically, and they seem to have pulled it off. Congratulations to them, pat on the back, et cetera, et cetera.
Any format where a lot of people showing up have never likely done it before is going to be one we have to probably do a bit more handholding than normal, too.
Now, that said, I am quite certain that something got screwed up during the weekend and someone who's currently listening had a bad time. I'm not saying the event was perfect. I'm just saying that more often than not, when we talk about TOs, we really just say what horrible things people were saying about them. But in this case, let's try and be positive, I guess.
Bill, did you hear clues go in the super slow-mo robot mode there at the beginning of that sentence?
I totally did. I assume that was when the Star City Games people assumed direct control and made him compliment them.
Oh, okay.
He's not denying it.
Nope. I'm waiting for processors to come back online. Sorry. If you hear a sudden thud, it's my head falling forward into my mic.
Stop the top.
Stop the top.
Stop the daylight saving time. Stop the top.
Stop the clock. No, that's the problem.
Restrict island.
Anyway.
Bow ties.
So since Star City was running GPDC, there's not a Star City Open this weekend, so yay.
Good turn to talk, everybody. Good job.
You know, that's actually the other added bonus for us here on this show. I am going to just go right out and say it. I absolutely love it when Star City runs GPs because that cuts down on the events that we have to cover.
Sure. Considering that's half of what the show is, you know, that makes you sound terrible, Clues.
Yeah, well, it's just I think we spend too much time on coverage.
Why do you hate the people that make Legacy happen, Clues?
And that's what I'm going
to
say.
The people who are actively trying to kill your format.
Because they need to stop killing something. I don't know.
Yay, something.
All right.
Okay, so moving on. Now we go into like news and fluff. So in Shadows Over Innistrad news, in Rosewater's, this is from today, right?
Yes.
Yeah, in Rosewater's Making Magic article today, it's all about the mechanics in Innistrad and what we're gonna be here and blah blah blah. There's one thing that actually matters, and that is that. So in the original Innistrad and what was the second? Dark Ascension. There we go. You got one double face card per pack, straight up.
It lived in the back of the pack, same spot every time. Never miscommunication.
It was gonna be either a rare or a common or an uncommon. Were there mythic double face cards? There were, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first one was Garrick. And then the second one was Huntmaster.
There you go. So
of the Fells, not any other. Never mind.
Right.
Go on.
Right.
No, I'm thinking of Sportsmaster. I'm sorry. I've been watching Young Justice. Go on.
That is different.
I need to start Young Justice again because it's been so long since I watched season 1 that season 2 would make no sense.
You'll enjoy it.
I will.
But anyway, so in the new times, in the today times, in Shadows Over Innistrad, you actually get 1 1/8 double face card per pack, which means that sometimes you get, or you always get one, and sometimes you get two. Boom. That's the important bit from this whole article.
So Chewy.
Yes.
Because no one else has had a chance to do this to you yet. I want you to think for a minute. You could get 4 mythics.
I hate you so much.
No, no, no. You don't understand. You could get a mythic and a foil mythic and a transform mythic and a transform mythic.
I really hate you.
Maybe you don't understand, Chewy. 4 mythics.
Old jokes.
If this happens to you, if you open up that pack, just go ahead, pick up the cards, just go. You're done. Your luck is all out, even if the 4 mythics you got were all the same mythic and all terrible.
Well, that's impossible.
That's not going to happen.
Surely there's a terrible mythic.
No, I mean, they won't be the same mythic, because at least one of them will not be a double face card.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's important. Now, when this article originally went up, it said 1 1/2, which means that about every 4 packs, you're going to get, every other pack, essentially, yeah, you're going to get 2 double face cards. But that is not right.
Nope.
It's 1 1/8. Think very original different. Ninja Turtles. It's 1 1/22 1 1/8. Where the hell is 1 1/22 1 1/8? It's right there. It's where that other double face card is.
Thanks, Chewy.
You were welcome.
I appreciated that.
Always love that guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you want to learn more about all of the returning mechanics that didn't return, then, yeah, go read the article. That's fine. But the thing that matters for, you know, the purposes of practicality was that.
Yeah, and it's also important to note, since I think we read it last week but didn't say it out loud because whatever, there are going to be 2 checklists. They're not all going to be on 1.
Yes.
So this will be important.
I missed that completely last week. It was pointed out as soon as the episode went live.
Yeah.
Did you know there were going to be 2?
No, I thought we talked about it after the show.
It was talked about after the show was over, because I'd made a comment that there weren't that many things on the card during the episode. And therefore, I was saying that Double Face probably wasn't going to be as big of a thing. And then someone, like probably Clues or maybe you were, it wasn't me, but someone went, oh, well, there's 2 of these things.
Yeah.
And
I think I found it on Reddit, so I can't take credit.
So regardless, if you, I think one of them is the commons and uncommons. The other one is the rare and the mythics or something.
Yeah.
So
that's what it is.
When you start opening the stuff at your pre-release, if you're using the double face card, checklist and you can't find it on there, consult the rarity and use the appropriate one, because you're not crazy. It's probably on the other one. And this will be more relevant if you're getting 1 to 2 of these things, because it also means that at the pre-release, if you're using opaque sleeves, give your checklist cards to people who don't have them. And just deal with taking the card in and out. Like, this is my advice, just because there may not be enough of these things to float around if there are 2 different checklists. Especially if everyone's going to every pack have a double face card. Maybe 2. Those will be a rare resource at exactly the pre-release. After that, it won't matter.
Could be 3.
And you know, if you're in the continental US and you want some opaque sleeves, why not try some Manipool sleeves?
They're good.
Tweet at me and we'll work that out. Because I still have lots.
Are the Manipool sleeves actually opaque on the logo part? Have you tested that?
I've been using them.
I've never seen anything through
years
them.
And never seen anything through them.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway. So enough of that. By the way, the transform side of Startled Awake, Persistent Nightmare, that art is creepy.
Is it more than meets the eye?
No, it's creepy.
Oh, the whole card is creepy, and I also really love the design on it.
That is also true, but the art struck me, and actually, if you scroll up a bit, you can see it blown up.
Ghost children are always creepy.
That's creepy.
Yes, it's not cool, man.
It's like a photo negative taken of a murderous child.
So yeah. A child.
So,
but negative.
Ah.
So an adult?
No, not opposite, negative.
Beyond child, if you will.
Get your brain out of physics, Clues. Do you even physics, brah? Not today. We're in magic.
Not today. Oh, God, not today.
Okay, so that's good. Moving on, we've got the promo cards from Shadows Over Innistrad. I must admit, I have not read any of these, but because really? I completely forgot that this article was here. But there's the intro pack rares, of course, 1 for every color.
Yep.
Nice and simple. There's...
I want to talk briefly about one of the intro pack rares.
Which one?
So I want you guys to take a look at the red one.
Okay.
And then I want you to take a look at the link that I've just sent you.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah. So I think it's Howard Lyon. Yeah, Howard Lyon, the artist who did the artwork for what's the name of it? Flameblade Angel. So yep. Flameblade Angel is the red intro pack rare. He put out a post on his blog today. I assume his blog. Yeah, let's go with his blog. No, maybe his store. Yeah, his store. Okay.
His website.
Website. His media presence. Look, I'm having word finding problems.
His home on the information superhighway.
Oh my God.
On yes. It's his GeoCities homepage, I think. AOL.
/labyrinth/number/index.html
AOL keyword Howard Lyon. The character depicted here is Isabel. She's an angel, and she's actually appeared on 4 cards that he's done, and it tells a little story about her. So
one of them is familiar.
There you go.
Yeah, this started way back with Angel of Light Alabaster.
Yes.
And this was actually sent to me as a Tumblr thing, so it's good to know that Tumblr is still not, you know, original. Good job. But anyway, yeah, so that's cool. Throw that in the show notes there, would you, Clues?
All right, sure, I will do that.
If you can manage.
I may not be able to.
And I always really loved the art on Angel of Flight Alabaster. She looks so sad and ginger, so I was instantly drawn to her. I'm just saying.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, okay, moving on. We've got intro packs. We've got the gift box, because that's a thing.
Yeah, this is the first gift box that hasn't come out in the holidays, I think.
Yeah, that is a good point. Oh, but it says big set means big gift box. So that means now you're going to get 2 every year instead of the holiday gift box. You'll get.
Oh, good, because my target was, you know, already backlogged from all the still holiday gift boxes.
I was going to say, those shelves were not completely full yet. So.
Exactly. So now you get a holiday gift box and you get a spring gift box, let's say.
A film noir Jace gift box is what matters right now.
With a Ravenous Bloodseeker in it, which is the madness enabler that we've seen already.
Did they show the gift box? Have we seen what that artwork's going to... Yeah, look at that.
It's film noir Jace.
Yeah, sorry, I was putting a link in the show notes and I can't actually multitask right now.
That happens. The BioBox promo is the elusive tormentor, you know, that vampire what turns into mist. That is flavorfully brilliant.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to click on different items and something about red pages. Oh, come on. No mist loving.
Wow. I had to pause. I had to shatter pause at how old that reference was. I mean, first GeoCities and then mist.
Oh boy.
And I thought the Ninja Turtles thing was bad.
Apparently the only parts of my mind that are still awake are from like, I don't know, early 90s. Yeah.
Hold on, let me add you to my web ring while we're at it. Ask your parents.
Or ask Jeeves. That's fine, too.
If you don't know which search engine to use, use Dogpile. It'll figure it out.
I was trying to work out a Dogpile joke. Thank you very much.
I used to use Metacrawler because it was like, it used 4 search engines.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why would you not just use this one?
Have I told you guys that I still distinctly remember the very first time I used Google?
That's a little creepy, actually. I'm going to need you to not remember that.
Okay. Well, it's too late. I've remembered it.
Oh, okay. Is this a story that needs sharing, or is it just that you remember, and that's the story?
Well, a friend of mine, his name was Pete Peterson. That's his real name. I'd been using a search engine, and I'd gotten pretty good at, you know, culling through the crap that other search engines gave me. And he's like, hey, there's this new one called Google, and it's, like, always really good. You should try this. And I tried it out, and we spent, like, half an hour just searching random things and noticing how much better the search
This was. Is what we did before social media, in case you want to pretend the internet was ever productive.
Yeah.
It was not.
It was just porn and search engines. That's almost a good title.
I think it was mostly search engines. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think we should put porn in the title.
Yeah, probably not.
This is a family show, so maybe mostly search engines.
Alt.rec.magicthegathering.
Anyway, the launch promo. So if you go to a release event, you'll get an Angel of Deliverance.
Pretty sweet looking.
Who is pretty sweet looking. The game day participation card is Incorrigible Youths.
And I love like those neighborhood. Guys.
Yeah, I love the card, but they're creepy as hell. Yeah. I actually think that the other, this was full art, by the way, with the transparent text box, but I actually think that the original art is a little more creepy.
Well, I'm imagining when I see incorrigible youth, not that they're real, but like I'm going on a small world ride or something, because this is just the kind of crap that you see when you're on like little boat rides. And I'm like, I don't want to stop here. Those are animatronic and they're creepy.
And then if you top 8 game day, you get an Anguished Unmaking.
Which is going to be relevant.
Yeah, okay. We're just going to go ahead and call it now. The card you need a play set of is Anguished Unmasking.
Unmaking?
I'm sorry.
Unma King.
He took the S from Daylight Savings and dropped it into there, made Unmasking.
Oh, yes. That is the card you totally need. And, okay, the full art is pretty good. It's actually a little disturbing, a little
bit. Did you notice that the full art of this is a different angle on the other art?
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. But you should go look at the other art, the normal art, and then read the flavor text on it.
It's on this page if you scroll down.
And then feel bad about it.
Because it's what the Game Day Champion playmat is.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, well, that's the art. Okay, I thought you were talking about the card. I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah, but if they want the flavor text, they still have to go look it up.
And it's presumably, by the time you're listening to this, it will probably be in the card image gallery, because I don't know where you'd go to find it other than just Googling it.
Yeah. Or dogpiling it.
Or metacrawlering it. What about Hotbot? I used to use Hotbot, too.
That probably does something different now.
Holy crap, Dogpile still exists.
Hey, what about Hotbot? Is this porn? Nope, it is still a search engine. It's drastically different than it used to be, though. Look, and it's got a thing called Weather Zombie. I'm going to click on it. Get weather for my town. Does it just take me to weather.com? Because I'm going to be pissed. More weather. More zombies. And there's nothing.
I really hope it actually gives you a forecast of zombies.
It's a white page with black text that says more weather, more zombies. For even more zombie-themed weather and content, visit this site. And then it says ads related to Kernersville, and there's nothing.
No zombies. Good job.
No ads related to Kernersville either. So,
all right, I'm going to read you a pair of sentences here. Dogpile began operation in November 1995. The site was created and developed by Aaron Flynn and later sold to GoToNet, which was in turn acquired by InfoSpace.
Wow.
And how's that for just a trifecta of old things? Okay.
So I typed in Metacrawler, and it took me to msxml.excite.com, and it's got a little Excite powered by Dogpile. Wow.
Excite being powered by Dogpile, so backwards.
Is ask.com still a thing?
Yeah.
Presumably,
It was not that long ago.
Hey, have you guys heard of this search engine Bing? I don't think anybody uses it.
I think Stephen Colbert said it a lot so that money would go to a charity.
They use it in the Amazing Spider-Man movies.
Really?
Oh, well, yeah, because those are gone.
The CinemaSins guys pointed that out. He's like, why is he using Bing?
All right, back to cards.
Back to cards. The Game Day Champion Matt gets the super sweet, what did we just call it? Anguished Unmaking
Unmasking.
Art play mat. Unmasking. No, it is. Damn it, Cliff.
People don't know the card yet. You can't do that.
I'm sorry. You're right. Anguished Unmaking is the name of the card. And I got to say, I think this may be the best Game Day Champion playmat ever.
I think it is.
There have been some good ones, but this one is amazing.
This is right up there. So it's got Soren, who's doing a thing to somebody there. Go look at it. And then over here in the corner, there's totally Tomio and Film Noir Jace.
Oh, God. I just realized.
Did you now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This means that there's probably fanfic of Tomio and Jace now.
Welcome to the internet, Clues. Moving on.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure there's fanfic of us on the internet.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, you know, whatever.
Oh.
You know, by saying that out loud, now they're going to send it to you.
Chewie, can you edit the show? Look, I'll give you the timestamp. We just need to wipe that whole thought from.
Because I'm going to send it to you when we get it. Holy crap, they're bringing back Fiery Temper. Whoa. Sorry, I clicked on a card preview at the bottom that said, don't mind me, and scrolled down to the click to reveal and saw that it was Fiery Temper, and that makes me happy.
Wait, what?
The very bottom of the page with related articles.
Yeah, there's one that says, don't mind me. I'm like, oh, I wonder what that is. Oh, it's Fiery Temper. Damn.
There's a lot of nice cards on that page, by the way.
Oh, look at that.
Fiery Temper is the madness bolt. It costs three, or you can madness it for a single red. So yeah, that's a thing.
That's such a thing with Chandra right now.
Oh yeah.
I'm just gonna discard my hand, spend red, take six, and ooh, I drew some cards. I had two of them.
Seems good. Okay, so that's that. We're not gonna go over lots of preview cards because that's what every other show on the network is for, essentially.
That's right. All the other shows.
Or at least most of them.
Can we talk about the card that Mike is most likely to use?
I haven't seen a demon that's gonna kill Mike yet, except for the one that comes in the dual deck.
No, it's not a demon, but Sinister Concoction is the most flavor-heavy card I've seen in this set, which is really impressive given the rest of the set.
What color is that?
It's black. It's on the same page as the Fiery Temper, just the next one down.
Oh, I already closed that.
Sinister Concoction is single black for an uncommon enchantment, and it has pay a black, pay one life, put the top card of your library into your graveyard, discard a card, sacrifice the concoction, destroy target creature. You're essentially throwing a little bit of everything into the pot, then dumping the pot over, and then a creature dies somewhere.
Damn. That's,
and the flavor text is an old family recipe for an old family grudge. It's like, I don't foresee this being an exceptionally practical card, if only for that discard a card and the requirements. But I do see this as something that's going to have a lot of fun and limited, because you're going to play it on turn one, and you're just going to leave it there. And they're going to know for the entire game that whenever they play a relevant creature, it will die. And that's going to be pretty amazing, because usually that onboard something's going to die effect really screws with the way other people play. So, fun times.
Hmm. While we're on preview cards, I do just want to point out the uncommon enemy color tap lands have been reprinted with more different names. So now we get Forsaken Sanctuary, Foul Orchard, Highland Lake, Stone Quarry, and Woodland Stream. Two of which are creepy. The other three are just places.
So when you say tap lands, you mean they just come in tap?
Yeah, they're uncommons. They tap for one of either of their two enemy colors, and they enter the battlefield tapped, and that's it. They've been printed before a couple times. The Guild Gates were essentially this, just with a subtype.
Right.
So, yeah.
The least engaging of all of that variation, but now they're in Innistrad.
Exactly. So that's cool. They'll show up again in a minute.
Good times.
I wrote this flavor text. Well, good for you.
Really actually did.
Well, yeah, but good for him.
Because I think you've met this guy too, right?
Have I?
Yeah, I thought you met him. I know I met him at, I think, a GP. I can't remember which one it was, though, but I thought you were there.
I meet so – the rare times that I go to a GP, I meet so many people that, unfortunately, they don't all stick.
All right, that's fair. But the point is, the guy who wrote the flavor text for Sinister Concoction is Brian McGee. Go follow him on Twitter.
Yeah. Hey, throw a link to that in the show notes too, since you're at it.
I guess I will.
Yeah. I'm going to hurry up. So close that. All right. So let's move on then, shall we? There is another card that we should probably mention.
Very likely, yeah.
Before that, we should go
like it's going
to
see play.
Well, before that, we should go to Rosewater. So on Rosewater's Tumblr, which is yet another source of official information, sadly, someone asked, how many Planeswalkers do we get in this set? Rosewater answered, four. So at the time, we were only aware of Arlen, whatever her name is, the werewolf Planeswalker, whose name I cannot remember for some reason. Anybody?
No, I'm trying to make a joke, and I got nothing. Sorry.
Like Arliss? Anybody remember that show?
I do, but that's not the joke I was going to make.
Oh, boy.
What was his name? I love that guy. He was in Batman.
He was in the first Batman one.
Yeah, he was Knox. Knox, the reporter, in the first Batman. But I can't think of his name, and then he was Arliss, and I didn't care because... I didn't care. Because
why would you?
Exactly. Anyway, so Rosewater's at four. So we've got the werewolf planeswalker, and that's all we know for sure. Although it's pretty obvious once you look at the packaging that we talked about last week. But then there's
Arlen Cord, I think, is the planeswalker.
Arlen Cord. I could not remember Cord for some reason. But over at Gathering Magic today, they previewed Nahiri the Harbinger. Even though it's Harbinger, I'm going to say Harbinger to piss clues off.
Yeah, it does.
You got to add an S to it.
Harsbinger.
Harbringers.
Harsbringers.
Charbinger.
Charbinger, there we go. This is Charbinger.
Nahiri the Harbinger. The Harbinger of Chewie's eminent beating.
I'm sorry, this is, for some reason, Charbinger. It sounds like something that you would buy to, like, put as, it's an additive that you put in your laundry. You know, be sure you get some Charbinger. It keeps your whites whiter. Anyway, I don't know why that struck me as funny, but screw you. So yeah.
Do you guys remember Nahiri?
Yeah, she was on, she was one of the monocolored planeswalkers that could be used as a
commander.
As a commander in the monocolored commander decks from what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, from 2014. Yeah.
And that's it. And she was the Lithomancer from...
She was the unnamed Lithomancer who helped imprison the Eldrazi originally.
Yeah, that.
She is OG.
Yeah.
And she's also considered by many to be Planeswalker Stoneforge Mystic, which is not official, but I mean, look at him.
Yeah, well, she's not. Okay.
Well, we know she's not, but like...
I just wanted to make sure that folks who...
See, what that is that is some prejudice against Kor. Because you're saying that all Kor look alike, and that's not right.
I'm saying those Kor look alike.
Well, not you specifically, but the people who are saying that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It is fair that she does look a lot.
Considering she also does what Stoneforge Mystic does, yeah, there's that too.
Gets banned and scared.
Give her time.
So what does she do then?
All right. So Nahiri is 2 red and a white. So Boros time. First Boros Walker since Ajani got angry.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
we haven't
God.
Had any other Boros Walkers.
That's awful.
Yeah. But yeah, so she's 4 mana, so you know she's a relevant Planeswalker already. or at least she has the potential to be. She starts with 4 loyalty. She's a Planeswalker Nahiri, as you should have hoped. She's got a +2, which we don't see as often as we used to. +2, you may discard a card if you do draw a card. That's optional, so you can just +2 if you don't want to discard anything, and that's totally fine. You can -2 to exile target enchantment, tapped artifact, or tapped creature. So get revenge on something that did something. And again, she starts with 4, so you can use that right out the gate and then use it again if nothing else happens and get your nice little 2-for-1 out of that. And then the -8 is the ability that I was referencing, which is search your library for an artifact or creature card, put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library. It gains haste. Return it to your hand at the beginning of the next end step. So essentially, for most practical purposes and casual formats, her -8 is deal 15 damage to your opponent, make them sacrifice 6 things, and take another turn, because she's going to go get Emrakul.
I was saying, I'm pretty sure in most casual formats, there's a gentleman's agreement not to play Emrakul.
maybe.
You don't get to take another turn because you didn't cast it.
Oh, that's fair. You just
put it onto the battlefield.
But then Emrakul's in your hand.
Yeah, and now you can go ahead and something.
Let's be real. There's never an extra turn after Emrakul attacks. Womp womp. But yeah, essentially go get an artifact or a creature as broken as you can afford, and that is her ultimate. Feel real bad when you only have the 1 and you already drew it.
Oh.
Now, can I just say...
Possibly.
I love this card.
Imagine that.
Let me explain why. Okay, it's a really good planeswalker, and it's not blue. More specifically, it's Boros, because Boros. Like, seriously, come on, Boros.
I greatly appreciate the fact that this is a Boros planeswalker that plays differently from Ajani Vengeance. Because Ajani Vengeance is an amazing card. I consider it one of the best planeswalkers ever printed. And that's in part because Ajani Vengeance came with a Lightning Helix, which is what I think most long-term players think of when they think of red-white. And the ability to do this card that does not do burn and does not do life gain is nice. Like, I like seeing them utilize these other parts of the pie. So.
Oh, that's today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this card.
She's doing the walking away from an exploding building thing.
Yeah, without turning back to look.
Yeah, well, and not just any building. I'm pretty sure. So there's a larger version of this artwork that can be found on the internets. And should I put that in the show notes too?
Yeah, yeah.
Why not? It's pretty.
It's definitely pretty.
Basically, I'm pretty sure that is Markov Manor behind her. Because, wow, is she pissed at Sorin.
Admittedly, on Innistrad, Sorin probably doesn't care that much for Markov Manor anymore. But, yeah, she's angry. And that's cool. Because, honestly... I'm not stopping her.
I don't think you should try. I think that will end poorly.
I think the walking away with an explosion in the background is what you get from the red part of the color pie. See reference most of Chandra's cards. And that's pretty great.
Except Chandra wants to watch the explosion.
She doesn't usually watch it in the art, though.
Squee, if you do try and stop Nahiri, we'll see you next upkeep.
Yeah.
Although, she exiles, dude.
She exiles. We won't see you next upkeep.
Like I'm ever tapped.
But
that has never happened. Honestly, Nahiri would discard me each turn to keep plus twoing and drawing cards, and that'd be great.
By the way, who did the artwork on this?
Alexi Bricklow.
Very nice work, Alexi. We don't often mention the artists, so.
Yeah, he is a planeswalker painting machine there, isn't he? Because he is the guy that's responsible for the original Five, the Lorwyn Five. Isn't he? Did I just lie?
I don't know. I'm headed to Gatherer.
Wa-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yes, I was right. Okay, good.
Good.
Good. Excellent. Okay, so yeah, there's Nahiri the Sharbinger. She's pretty awesome.
I'm really hoping that we get a year where she's playable. Because this looks awesome.
Yeah.
And considering we've still got some big scary Eldrazi lying around, at minimum, she has some big scary things to go get.
He did Angel of Serenity, too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's done lots of amazing art. Because he's apparently an amazing artist. Just imagine how that works.
The original Gideon?
That I forgot.
Oh, Kozilek the Great Distortion.
Anyway, so yeah, I do, I want to tangent slightly for just a moment. I find it really...
Whoa, no, hold it. We don't tangent. Oh, wait, never mind. Go ahead.
No, that's swearing that we don't do.
Sorry.
Yeah. I find it really interesting, and it's a complete coincidence, but both Magic and Hearthstone are doing the new set that is creepy, crawly, Lovecraftian type things. Because the new expansion for Hearthstone was just announced. It's Whispers of the Old Gods. And it's got cultists and the elder gods and that sort of thing. And lots of, like horror tropey type things. And then, of course, Innistrad.
Yeah.
I like it.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah. But anyway. So let's move on. That's it for Shadows.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the Newels, they're doing.
The Newels!
In the Newels, they're doing a big changes for Magic News. Wait.
Newels of the Planeswalkers.
Yeah, Magic Duels is they're actually going to take advantage of the digital format and change some stuff. And what? I am very proud of them for this. But they are, so when you first, get into duels or whatever, you get a starter box. And the starter box has a bunch of basic, it's essentially the starter kit. You just get a bunch of cards with which to build decks, and they're, none of them are terribly overpowered. None of them are ridiculous. It's just basic stuff. Well, they've realized that some of this basic stuff is a little too good, and so they're going to change it. And the very first one they mention should be enough to make most people go, oh, duh. But I'm not going to go through these. But they're apparently the ranked constructed on Magic Duels is kind of out of whack. So they're removing – well, they're adding in explosive vegetation, which is very tame. And they're removing Monvuli Acid Moss. Because why the hell was that in there in the first place? Monvuli Acid Moss, in case you don't know, for 2 green-green, destroy target land and go get a forest and put it onto the battlefield tapped for 4 mana. Yeah, it hasn't been printed since, I think, Time Spiral. I know that was when it was first printed. That's Gatherer. That's the only time
it's been printed.
Yeah, it's the only time it's been printed. And yet here it was in Duels. And that's just sick. So
that should not exist.
So yeah, it's not just a ramp spell, it's a tempo play, because it blows up a land, and since multicolored is a big thing, multicolored decks are a big thing in the ranks constructed, it's just brutal. And so they realize that that's dumb.
Green land destruction feels wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, green is the color that manipulates lands, but I've never thought of green as a land destruction color. That just feels like a mistake.
Yeah, it's red and black, man. It's red and black. So yeah, they're fixing that, and that's good. But then they're making lots of other changes, like they're getting rid of Dreg Reaver, which is a 4/3 for 5, and adding in Minotaur Abomination, which is a 4/6 for 6, just because that 3 toughness really sucks.
Hmm.
You know, things like that. They're just balancing things, essentially.
And it's not a format where the collection has any cash value ever, so they can just do that.
Well, I mean, if you pay poor money into it, it could. But these are the things...
Well, you can't get money back out of them, though.
Exactly. And these are the things that you get at the beginning.
Like, part of the reason they can't fix some parts of the Magic Online economy are that it's directly tied to real product. But here they can fix collections and problems like that.
Yeah, so they're not changing things that, like, you get from boosters or anything like that. It's just the basic stuff. And this is going to be instantaneous once... I don't know when they're going to do it because... Oh, it's when the Shadows of Innistrad and Oath of the Gatewatch big thing are released, whenever that is.
Oh, they're getting the new jewels, too.
Yeah, yeah. So anyone who has, like, for instance, Dregreaver in a deck, it's just going to be straight replaced with Minotaur Abomination. Just boom. You don't have to go in and alter anything. None of your decks are invalidated. It's just, whoop, this is different now. So if you play duels and you would like to, you know, be aware of what is going to change, you might want to go look into this. In other news, they're getting rid of the Guild Gates and Gatecreeper Vine, and they're giving you Sylvan Ranger and the what is this? Oath of the Gatewatch and the Shadows of Innistrad tap lands.
Essentially, the gate thing is going away and everything else is almost the same.
Yeah. I mean, because they're essentially the same card. They just don't have the gate interaction, but they got rid of Gatecreeper Vine anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And then they're making a few other weird changes, like they're getting rid of Jagged Scar Archers and putting in Lifespring Druid. That's not related. But
that's different.
They don't like what Jagged Scar Archers does to the meta, so get rid of it. Hey, how about that? That's awesome. And then a major card that I always have problems with on the rare occasions that I play duels is Perilous Mirror. You guys remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the little shock mirror.
Yeah, the 1/1 for 2 that when he dies, he shocks something. Yeah, they're just getting rid of him for Bronze Sable, which is just a 2/1 for 2, because that's apparently harmful to the meta, which is fine.
Perilous Mirror was always pretty great, but I could see in a less powerful format, like I imagine these are, Perilous Mirror is probably kind of busted.
It is. Another power change, they're getting rid of Foundry Street Denizen because aggro is way too aggro. And they're putting in Goblin Balloon Brigade because that's not aggro at all.
But it has a toad in it.
Yeah, he's so cute. Quick, inflate the toad.
I like how they inflate the toad by literally just putting fire under it.
Yeah. And then just one more quick change to make things slightly smoother. They're getting rid of Elite Vanguard, you know, the 2-1 for 1, formerly Savannah Lions.
Yeah.
And they're putting in Expedition Envoy, you know, that 2-1 for 1 that's also an ally. Oh, okay.
A little more relevant, yeah.
Yeah. But what, all in all, there are 20 changes, I think they said. 20 cards, yeah. So if you play duels and you're at all invested in the multiplayer, you're going to want to check this out. Yep. And then build something new because probably your deck just got worse. Sorry, but it was probably better that way. But it's nifty that they, unlike Hearthstone, they can't like go nerf a card because it's still a magic card. But yeah, they could just swap it out for something else, which is, it might as well be a nerf. So that's cool. I like that they're taking advantage of the system that they have built.
The power.
Yay. So that's cool. And you might go, well, they're just making things worse. Yeah, well, sometimes you need worse things for the format on the whole to be healthier. That's why they had to ban Summer Bloom and that other card.
If things were always better, always, then the game would get worse.
Exactly. So that's that. Is that it for, like, actual news and stuff? Should I do Will's shameless plug?
Yes.
All right. So Will sent me a message. The store that Will Blanks, by the way, in case you're not aware, is our background behind the scenes guy who fills up the show notes every week with all the stuff that we talk about. Maybe, sometimes not all of it. Sometimes we add stuff, but there's always stuff there that Will adds for us to go through and figure out what to talk about. And without him, we would miss all kinds of stuff. So a big thanks as always to Will, our silent partner, although apparently he's not silent. Apparently he's insanely hyperactive, which I find hilarious because silent partner. Yeah. But he sent me a message. The store I work at does a sweet legacy quarterly event We give out powers and duels and neat stuff like that to the top eight. This past weekend, we got 66 players. He said he put links in the show notes, but he can't talk about it because he works evenings, so he can't be on the show. So the links in the show notes are the top eight lists. It's for the gigabytes, giga-bytes, like bytes, like food, not like computer bytes, like bytes, bytes. Get it?
The Omnoms.
Yes. But the Gigabytes Legacy Quarterly, the top eight decks are listed here. Blue Red Delver one. Boo. And then look, hey, look, Elves in second.
Yay.
And then look, Infect in third.
Oh.
What the hell is Red Deck Wins? What is this?
What? What?
Oh, it's Burn. Okay.
Yeah.
It's Legacy Burn. It's just labeled Red Deck Wins. And then the rest of the top eight was Miracles. Boo. Painter's Servant. Ah. Reanimator.
Yay.
Reanimator. What flavor Reanimator are we looking at here?
Extra Crispy.
Extra Crispy Reanimator. Anyway. Ashen Rider, Blazing Archon, Hellish Norn, Grave Titan, Grimmelbrand! And a Flippy Jace. Hey, Flippy Jace. Entomb, Exhume, Reanimate, Animate Dead. Good lord. How are you playing Animate Dead and you're not playing World Gorge or Dragon? I am disappointed. And then Sneak and Show. Again, with the Grimmelbrand!
That was the eighth deck. It's not that Sneak and Show cards were in Reanimator. Anyway, go ahead.
Right. Did I screw that up?
You were reading off cards in Reanimator, and then you just went straight to and Sneak and Show.
Okay, yeah. Which Sneak and Show is not a card, so they'll figure it out. Is it?
It sounds like it would be, but it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
It's yet. It's Show and Tell and Sneak Attack, right?
It does sound like a split card.
Nice. But anyway, and then there's the Not Safe for Work Twitch stream. If you want to watch any of the coverage, because they stream it on Twitch. So feel free to check that out. The links are in the show notes.
Hooray.
Especially since there wasn't a Legacy event this week. So those of you that are twitching, go check that out. Get it? Twitching? I didn't even mean that. But those of you who are going through DTs.
So Chewy, I need your DCI number.
Seven.
Seven. Excellent.
I started a long time ago.
Top eight DCI.
Yes.
Do you get a pin?
No.
Because this is way back then, right?
So let's do Magic Online news and go to bed.
That'd be all great. Right.
Are we all piling in the same bed this time?
No.
Wait for Charlotte.
Oh, right. Okay. That's
awesome. So, hey, Magic Online news. Obligatory disclaimer. Magic Online announcements are Tuesdays and Wednesdays and occasionally Thursdays. So on Mondays, I'm using old news. Check the website for the most current news. What I've got here are the announcements from March 8th. But before we even go into that, I want to remind you that this week does not have a downtime. They're not doing downtime on the 16th. So that means that they're not going to be doing any redemptions, but it also means that you can play. So have fun. So yeah, that out of the way now. They wanted to remind you that, as we are wrapping up this week with, 9th edition, they're going to make their way into Triple Ravnica in the year of modern, essentially, flashbacks. So when they go into Ravnica, though, that's actually going to be synced in a little bit because they're going to be doing a Ravnica City of Guilds streamer showdown on March 17th. So about the time we get Ravnica City of Guilds, they'll be doing streaming stuff. And I guess just to let you know, if you didn't play during original Ravnica, they did four guilds in the first one, which was the Ravnica City of Guilds set, which consisted of Boros, Golgari, Selesnya, and that one that doesn't exist but is allegedly called Dimir. And so if you want to jump in an original Ravnica and not return to and maybe get some of those fancy original shocks, your chance to do that will start this week. That said, let's look at the
original Ravnica Limited was weird.
Yeah. Yeah, because for the future weeks as well, you'll need to know that each pack will only have certain guilds in it. And so by the time all three of them are out, if you don't get what you need for a given guild in that pack, you don't get it, like, at all. There will be no weird, lucky dragon's maze happens to be the same color stuff going on. You're just going to get all your Ravnica, then all of your, what's the second one? Guild Pact?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally all of your Dissension, which has some pretty sweet uncommons if you've been paying attention for 8 years. ask your Chewy. And besides that, so Worth, that guy that everyone blames everything on, posted his article on what's going on in 2016. And most of the article, just to sum it up for you very quickly, is that a lot of the things that they did last year, they're going to try to continue to do more of. Some of the things that they accomplished last year were the introduction of play points, which everyone thought was going to end the world and then didn't, as is usually the case. The finally launching the original constructed leagues and now sealed leagues. So they're going to continue to work with those. They're going to continue to do gauntlet events and, you know, flashback events like Modern Flashback. They're going to continue to do festivals, all that stuff. They're going to continue. One thing that I do think is worth pointing out, and this will actually be relevant for a small portion of you, they're going to be doing an update on Magic Online itself, which is going to be updating the .NET, which, without going too technically, what it really means practically is that things should theoretically get better for all of the systems that are accessing it. But if you're still running Windows XP or some versions of Vista, Magic Online is going to stop working for you. You will no longer be compatible.
That is so very important.
That's relevant.
I mean, complain all you want about they need to make it, you know, able to be played on a potato, but there's a statute of limitations on potatoes, man.
And considering not even Microsoft supports XP anymore.
Yeah.
You got to deal with that. And if you have Vista, then you are a trooper. Because you really shouldn't still have Vista, probably. But no, this is very important because if you're using these older OSs, you're not going to be able to play Magic Online after a certain update. And it's not like one of those things where you can stubbornly never update because you won't be able to connect to the servers without updating. So if you're on a sufficiently old Windows, then, and Magic Online is really important to you, you should probably look into getting an OS upgrade. I will not give you any advice about that. That is some other crazy person's job, but they do have a link here in the Worth article of the suggested machine specifications for what you should expect, to see, to make sure that you're still within the performance requirements for Magic Online. Now, on the plus side, this means that for those of us that have met these requirements, which will be most of us, I presume, it will work better. That's the point of upgrading. You don't just upgrade to break things. I mean, Microsoft does sometimes, but the rest of us don't. And so you just want to keep a grasp of that, and hopefully Magic Online will get an increased performance efficiency out of it. So keep that in mind. But yeah, like that's the only real major takeaway. They're going to continue to pay attention to feedback that they get on Twitter and on Reddit and on everywhere else where you tell them they suck, but also sometimes give constructive criticism. They're going to continue to incorporate that into what they're doing, and they're going to keep doing the things that they see are working and also give them real feedback. Don't just say it sucks. Tell them what you don't like about it. If you like something, tell them feedback is what they use. Like, even if they know, having this feedback is really useful when they go to people who are like, is this really worth fixing? Is this worth the man hours versus something else? If you can say 100 people told us that this thing needs to be fixed, well, that's a much easier for them to do their job. So keep that in mind. And this applies to everything, by the way, not just this. Feedback is important for getting people to justify resources to make things better. So, yeah. So jumping back over to the other weekly update notes, just wanted to point out that there's going to be a double Pro Tour qualifier last weekend. So I hope you went to it. this is my way of reminding you for a second time, if you want to know about these things, go to the actual articles because I'm getting them to you a week late every time. So there you have it. That's the Magic Online news.
Yay.
Hoorah.
Poor potatoes.
I mean, they can't all be operating under Aperture Science standards.
Oh, I need to play Portal 2 again.
Yeah, you probably do.
I don't think I actually finished it. That's a problem.
I enjoy that game greatly for all the normal reasons, but also I always imagine that Cave Johnson actually is J. Jonah Jameson.
Well, yeah.
And it works so well.
Parker, anyway. So I spit on my screen when I said that. That's gross. So now Parker, what?
Bring me a lemon.
So that is it for basically everything.
Magic over. Go home.
Go home, Magic. You're drunk.
It is sometimes.
Trying to run on potato whiskey. No?
You, wait, vodka?
Is that it? What do you use potatoes to make? I don't know where liquor comes from.
Vodka.
Okay. Is that it? Can you not make something else out of potatoes?
French fries?
You can make French fries, mashed potatoes. You could bake a potato, I suppose.
You know what's great with French fries? Chili ketchup.
Hash browns?
I got some Thai chili ketchup, and it has been glorious in every way. I recommend it to everyone. Just go out and get some Thai chili ketchup.
Oh, why?
I totally don't have stock in the Thai chili ketchup company.
Factory.
Shut up, I'm tired too. So then, let us be done with this bizarre episode.
Hooray.
All right, I'll start the close out then. So you can find me on Twitter at SweeGoblinNabob. There's no I in Goblin because I'm pretty sure while Clues was moving all those S's around, he grabbed an extra letter and I don't even care. So maybe next week I'll find it, probably not. But yeah, you can find me on Twitter. I'm trying to interact more on it than I have been previously by just occasionally pulling out my phone and using that to tweet at work. So that also means you get the hilarious game of what did autocomplete put in my tweet that I didn't know about. It's a fun game.
I've seen a couple of those.
I assure you, my phone does not believe in the word people. So all kinds of other words will appear in lieu of people, which is sometimes really funny. But yeah, that's a fun game to play, especially on Twitter where character counts matter. So we'll see what happens there. But also, as I mentioned last week, I added a number of new topics for people to submit for Enchant World on. I'm also going to start reaching out directly to a few people that I think would have a little bit more to say and create sort of an opening segment for each episode so that if I don't get as many entries for a given topic, I can still release things on a regular schedule. So I'm going to try to get that in motion and hopefully reach a point where I can at least do monthly, even if sometimes it's just one interview, because I want to make a regular schedule out of this. So keep an eye out for that. But definitely there are topics for everyone now. I think I have 7 or 8 submission topics already on the site. You'll find something that's relevant for you. And if there's nothing there and you still have a story, then submit it anyway. It'll be great. I look forward to getting more content because I really enjoy listening to the stories. And right now it's unfair because I've heard all the stories. But until I get a critical mass, it's not really something I'm going to post. So keep sending them in so I can share them with everybody else. If you don't want to use the form on the website, either because you're using a phone or you just don't like dealing with parts of the website that use Flash, and I don't blame you there, you can also just email your recording directly to me at planeswalker.squee@gmail.com. And likewise, if you have any questions, just send them to me and I will reply. So that's me. Go get them, Clues.
Okay, so you can find me on the Twitters. I'm at LockLuzé, spelled just like it is in the show notes. You can also find me on the Card Advantage podcast here on the MTGCast Network. This week, Rich and I have a plan for what we want to talk about, but there have been so many really, really good preview cards, we may just end up talking about the Shadows preview cards. I don't know yet. We'll find out later this week. You can also find me at SCG Indy this coming weekend down in Indianapolis, where I will be judging. So come on out and say hi.
Sweet.
So Chewy. Good.
Okay.
Yeah. I trailed off there. I thought.
I just wanted to make sure that you trailed off because you were done, and not you trailed off because you fell out.
Can't it be both?
That is one way of being done.
So that leaves me where I have no idea what's going on. I have lots of plans. Like today I was going to record some stuff and that fell through. But the plan in the near future is to record more of VVVVVV, which actually have the second episode recorded and edited and posted for patrons. It should be going live sometime in the middle of the night.
Could you say that again?
VVVVVV.
Oh, okay.
Or sextuple V, as Stark put it once. And I was like, oh, I don't like that.
I thought for a second there you had the same pacing as bo 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 bo, and I was really impressed.
Bo 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 bo?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
It is an anime about a man who fights with his nose hair.
Oh, hey, you're right, it is. Yeah, I forgot all about that. Thanks.
That's probably for good reason.
Yeah.
Like, so when you say fights with, do you mean like his nose hair and he throw down, or
no,
he uses his nose hair as a weapon?
That one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Note to self.
It is a parody, obviously.
Note to self, continue to avoid all anime. Got it. Nice.
I mean, if that's your fear, then yeah, that's probably the best way. I cannot guarantee that other anime is not also weird.
Anyway, But yeah, in the near future, I'm going to be recording finally the Battle for Zendikar side of Duels, the story mode or whatever you call it. The campaign, maybe? I don't know what the actual word is.
The Subspace Emissary.
Yes. Oh my god, I loved the Subspace Emissary. Oh, that was so much awesome. And the cutscenes, sometimes I will just plug in Smash Brothers Brawl, go to the movies, and just watch them all as one, like a big movie. Cause it's, they're so much fun. When I say sometimes, I think I mean I've done that twice in my life. But still, sometimes. There's a lot of cutscenes in the damn game. Yeah. These kids today don't know. They play their new Smash Brothers, whatever it's called, and whatever kids today. Also, I was on an episode, this ties in nicely, I was on an episode of the Retro League, which is a retro gaming podcast. I did the bonus round last week, which was about polygonal fighting games, just in general. And then I did this week's episode, which is about Nintendo 64 fighting games, because they've been doing fighting games recently. So yeah, that's awesome. Talked a lot about Smash Brothers and how weird Mortal Kombat Trilogy was on the 64.
So, yeah, I bet it was.
Yeah, I don't think that episode is actually out yet as a podcast. They do it live in Google Hangouts, and it gets automatically thrown up on their YouTube page. So if you want to see the raw footage, then you can check out the Retro League on YouTube. But if you want to wait for the actual podcast, which is cleaned up and music added and whatnot, then check out theretroleague.com. I love those guys. They're on like episode 300-something, whatever episode that was. It was in the 300s. So they've been at it a while.
Episode a big number.
Yes. But anyway, yeah, on the YouTube channel, I'll be playing the BFZ Duel story probably just in time for the Oath of the Gatewatch Shadows Over Innistrad story to come out, or pack, or update, or whatever it's called. I'm going to be starting Heroic Blackrock Mountain in Hearthstone at some point in the near future. I'll continue to play That was Blue Moon.
There you go.
Ask your parents. So yeah, lots of stuff coming up on the YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/c/TheManaPool. Or you can just search for The Manipool Tube, because that's the actual channel name. Yeah. And then you can follow me on Twitter @TheManaPool. And check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheManaPool. Yeah, just all that stuff. And if you want to send me an email, send all hate mail to jack@mtgcast.com. And send all of your other email to Chewy, that's chewie@mtgcast.com. Is that everything? I think it's everything. Oh, and if you want to help support what I do with the podcast every week and all the videos and whatnot, then check out the Patreon at patreon.com/TheManaPool. You can get Manipool episodes early, all the YouTube videos early. You can get behind-the-scenes stuff, the odds and ends, all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manipool, where it's uncensored and rambling and nonsensical, and usually a lot of fun.
Yay.
Plus, you'll occasionally get to hear Clue swear at us, which is apparently worth the price of admission all to itself.
It does happen sometimes.
Yeah. All right, then. And if you want to help support Magic podcasting in general, but not me specifically, then consider signing up to donate a monthly amount to mtgcast.com. You can go to mtgcast and hit the support mtgcast button, and it will guide you from there. Because mtgcast is free to all of the listeners and free to all of the podcasters, but it's not actually free. So every little bit there helps as well. Is that everything? Now it's everything.
Yay.
So with that, we will be done so that Clues can actually sleep without being on the air. So this has been episode 505 of Monday Night Magic. So very much for listening, and go play some Magic. Unless it's Team Sealed. That's over. It's too late. Sorry.